So we all know the story of Jesus' birth. We heard it on Christmas Eve. In fact, most of us can recite it from memory. But what comes after that? What comes next is really not that well known. And not only that, but it lacks a lot of the drama that we've become accustomed to these last several weeks. There's no angels singing, there's no dreams or visions, no heavenly hosts, no pregnant virgins. There's no shepherds keeping watch by night. Now all that's left are some religious obligations and then a long, dusty walk back to Nazareth. But it's also where we encounter Simeon and Anna, who are two devout Jews who have been anxiously awaiting the fulfillment of God's promises for the people of Israel, for their people. For them, the very sight of this child, the arrival of this one who has come to set their people free, it stirs within Simeon this song that is both beautiful but also somewhat a little odd, in that he prays for his own death, or at least announces to God that he is ready. "Now let your servant go in peace, Lord," he says, "for your word has been fulfilled." You see, Anna and Simeon, these people of old age, these bent over figures who have been praying for this day, they have been living in anticipation for this day, for this child. This is the fulfillment of the promise of God. I invite you to hear this ancient story with new and fresh ears.
Today's scripture is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Here begins reading. "When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before seeing the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Master, you are now dismissing your servant in peace. According to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of to your people Israel.' And the child's mother and father were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, 'This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there fasting and prayer night and day. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." Here ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So for the last several weeks during the season of Advent, we've been wrestling with what it means to believe even in the face of adversity, to believe in hope in the face of despair, to believe in peace in the face of conflict, joy in the face of sorrow, love in the face of hate. And the inspiration for this has come from a poem that was found in the aftermath of the Holocaust, scrawled on the wall of a cellar in a concentration camp. The poem goes like this: "I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God even when he is silent." So I hope and I pray that you had a good Christmas. I know it was different for a lot of us. Many of us weren't able to travel to be with loved ones in the way that we usually are. And so as a result of that, many of us were alone. For me, there was a different pace to this Christmas. I didn't have four Christmas Eve services stacked on top of each other. Instead, I spent most of the day with my wife and family. We had Christmas Eve dinner together for the first time ever. Maybe that is, in some ways, a silver lining in the midst of all this, at least for me. That said, I really missed being here. There's nothing like the beauty of this sanctuary, bathed in candlelight as we softly sing Silent Night. I missed that. I missed you. Several years ago in the New York Times, there was an interesting story about a music teacher by the name of David Storch, who in the weeks leading up to Christmas checked out from the Brooklyn Public Library the score to Handel's Messiah. But because of some sort of clerical error, the transaction wasn't recorded. And so a couple of days later, some other people came looking for that same score, and the librarians searched and searched and searched, unaware that it had already been checked out. After a few days after Christmas, Storch came back and returned it and laid it on the circulation desk. And when he did, the librarian screamed with excitement and began to joyously shout, "The Messiah is here! The Messiah is back!" And as you can imagine, every head in the library turned to see what the commotion was about. But eventually, as the Times reported, a few minutes later, everyone just went back to work. In many ways, that's sort of where we find ourselves today, isn't it? The Messiah is here. We have celebrated his arrival, but yet now it's time to slowly turn back to work. We're in this transition time. In some ways, it's still Christmas. For at least another week or so, we'll be singing songs about the arrival of the Master that we celebrate each Christmas. But also in the back of my mind, we've already begun to think about the arrival of the MasterCard bill that will come in January. That's what happens in the life of Mary and Joseph. Did you hear how the story began? When the time came, the text says that after presenting their child at the temple in Jerusalem, as was the custom at the time, that Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus and returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was with him. You see, I think part of what Luke is trying to tell us in this story is that although the baby Jesus is new, that he's also part of something that is ancient and old. Simeon and Anna, this old man, this old woman who had been waiting anxiously, they were representatives of the old guard. They were a couple that were still clinging to those ancient hopes of the people of Israel. They represent the best of what has gone before, and they have waited and they have prayed for this moment, for this child, and he has arrived. And yet here's Mary and Joseph carrying the new guard. They are here obeying the law of the Lord, sacrificing a pair of turtle doves. Now, a wealthier family would have sacrificed a lamb, but a couple of pigeons were all that this poor couple could afford. But yet the meaning is the same. The meaning is the same, that they are dedicating their child to God. There is this rhythm in this story of Jesus, between the old and the new, between continuity and discontinuity. Between change mixed in with tradition, intrusion and resumption. And in a lot of ways, when you think about it, that's sort of how our lives are as well. Think about it. Most of our life is spent within these liminal spaces between what was and what will be, between the already and the not yet. And in a lot of ways, we feel that especially today, don't we? Between Christmas and New Year. We're in this space between celebrating what has happened, but also preparing and getting ready for embracing what will happen, what the future holds for us. When the time came, the story begins. In other words, the time had come. The time had come. I guess what I'm trying to say is that while it feels a little bit like Christmas is over, that we are in many ways ready to get back to the normal, to the routine, it's important for us to remember that Christmas is the beginning of the story and not the end. But that's the danger though, right? That we'll move on too quickly. That we'll pack it all up with the decorations, or even worse yet, that we'll throw it away with all of the torn up wrapping paper. And as a result of that, we will miss the meaning. We'll miss some of the significance of what it all means, of what it means not just on Christmas Eve when we gather together and softly sing Silent Night, not just on Christmas morning, but what it means tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that. Civil rights leader and theologian Dr. Howard Thurman once wrote a poem called The Work of Christmas. And it reminds us that now that the time has come, that now the work of Christmas begins. The poem goes like this: when the song of the angels is still, when the star of the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. Now, Thurman says, now the work of Christmas begins. Several years ago when I was doing youth ministry, one year at the beginning of December, I called around to a couple of homeless shelters to see about bringing my youth group down to serve a meal. It was going to be our Christmas service project. But I called several different shelters and nobody was allowed to accommodate us. And they finally explained to me that we have all of the volunteers this time of year than they can handle, they said. If you really want to help us, they said, come back in January. It's a whole lot harder to find volunteers, people willing to serve the other 11 months out of the year. In other words, the time has come. Now the work of Christmas has begun. There's an old Midrashic tale about a conversation between God and Adam. It's told by the rabbis, and Adam says to God, God, this creation, all that you've made is utterly fantastic. But what does it all mean? And God looks at Adam and says, you mean it has to mean something? And Adam says, well, yes, of course. And God thought for a moment and then finally said, well, I'm sure you'll think of something. And then walked away. You see, the beauty of Christmas is that ultimately its meaning, the significance for you and for me, ultimately that's up to you and me. What Emmanuel, what God with us will mean to us when you wake up tomorrow, when you head back to work, when you head back to school, after the decorations have been taken down, when everything gets back to normal. What Emmanuel will mean in your life in this new year, ultimately, that's up to us to figure out. I can't tell you what it means to you. The question is then, Do we return to the normal, to the regular, to the everyday, just sort of relieved that it's all over and eager to get back to our everyday lives? Or do we allow the sacred that has been born anew into us, to really shape the way that we form our lives, the way that we live, the way that we love? This year especially, many of us are so excited that this year, 2020, is coming to an end. It has been horrific and hellacious in many ways. And we can't wait to turn the page and get on to the new year, to get back to some sense of normalcy. But what if normalcy is missing the point? If getting back to the way things always were is missing out on the opportunities that God has birthed into this world today? I can only pray that as we move into this new year, that the holiness of the holidays will inspire us to keep the important work of Christmas alive. Alive in our actions right here, right now. When the time had come, the story begins. In other words, the time has come. Now the work of Christmas begins. Amen.